Welcome to Stock Talk, the new Stockhouse podcast series that brings you behind-the-scenes insights into trending topics from capital markets, influencers, and entrepreneurs, broadcasting from the heart of the financial district in beautiful downtown Vancouver.
Welcome to the Stock Talk Cannabis Podcast, where we help listeners and investors understand more about investment opportunities in the exploding cannabis marketplace. I'm Dave Jackson. Today, we're extremely excited to be joined by Arne Johansson, chairman of TransCanada Holdings, fully vertically integrated CSE-listed Canadian company with a razor-sharp focus on an adult-use and medicinal cannabis market larger than that of the entire nation of Canada, that being California. Mr. Johansson has over 30 years operating and investing in both private and publicly traded companies throughout Canada and the U.S., and he's had numerous successful exits across a number of different sectors and has served on more than 20 corporate boards during his time. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us, Arne.
Hey, Dave. Thanks very much for having me.
My pleasure. So, Arne, we're now into the dog days of August 2019. What's been the buzz on the street, pardon the pun, so far this year for TransCanada?
Well, it was definitely a busy launch to the year. The company went public in January, executed a number of transactions through the spring. And so the buzz and what's been happening for the summer is taking all those transactions that the company put in place and put them into fruition, close them off, turn the letter of intents into the definitive agreements. Probably the biggest one being Soul Days. That's been the most anticipated one, an organic product from the United States, organically sourced mangoes, just a really phenomenal management team. We were excited to get to know everything that they've done and close off that deal and bring them into our world. Certainly, the license application for our daily facility in Modesto has everyone quite excited. So that was quite a process to complete all the paperwork there and get it submitted to the city. So now it's in their hands and we're waiting for the final answer there. And then, of course, just building out the team, like any good company that evolves over time from the beginning of our IPO, making sure we've got the right management team in place from the C-suite all the way down to, the first line of employees coming into the company.
Well, sounds good. Now, outside of the obvious size and scale, what are the other investor benefits to the California market?
Interesting. Yeah, well, California has got a long history with cannabis. We're going to be the beneficiaries of that. You know, medicinal cannabis became legal down there through Proposition 215 in 1996. So it's almost 25 years of a mature cannabis market. Consumers are educated. The ones that are on a regular basis, they know what they want. It's definitely a lifestyle state. People want to be out, be active. California is a fun place to be. Cannabis and the right products can play into that. And then, of course, you know, just like any industry, you want to find competent and qualified people. And being the black market where cannabis came from, in some states, it's really hard to find that expertise. Whereas in California, there's actually a rich culture of people to access on the growing side. So, you know, we're, like I said at the beginning, we're going to be the beneficiaries of that. And we are quite happy to be in the state of California.
100% there. Now, your investor deck talks about three pillars of the company: developing proprietary brands, creating a self-contained ecosystem, plus ensuring reliability, consistency, quality, and scale. Now, why do you believe these three components are relevant to investors?
Great question. I think I wouldn't want it any other way. If we're investing in any company, we have a portfolio of investments. TransCanada was certainly being one of them when we first started. I want to invest in a company that owns the IP. If you're out there marketing a product or positioning it with consumers, you definitely want the shareholders and the investors that put up the money that take the risk on developing that product to own it at the end of the day. So for TransCanada, being vertically integrated and owning that IP is huge. Having a self-contained ecosystem is just good business practice. As long as it can be funded and it's sustainable, which is not easy to do. People look at cannabis as it's a weed, it's easy to grow, but that's not the case, and especially to do it in a marketplace like California on scale. So for us to be able to build that from the very beginning and from scratch is huge. And then consistency, of course. If you're going to sell a product to an end consumer, like Coca-Cola or Pepsi, for example, if you have a different experience or a different taste every time you go to consume it, if you like those products, you're not going to be a repeat consumer. So for us, we want to have a very consistent experience and build that relationship with the end consumer.
Well, as a follow-up to that, in terms of the consistency aspect of it, how does this ecosystem differ from that of, you know, similar players in the space, Arnie?
Well, California there's a big market. A lot of companies are doing different things, and you know, I'm not going to speak ill of any of our competitors or anything like that. We want to wish everybody well. It's definitely a competitive marketplace. So, you know, I'll talk about kind of what TransCanada is doing well. And, you know, for us, we're focused on building out our infrastructure. It's a very methodical plan, a very strategic plan. The group of individuals that we have are seasoned business professionals. So making sure that our rollout and how we actually bring our products to market is key. We're focusing on revenue, producing assets. We feel in a great jurisdiction. So it's definitely something, you know, compared to other states, perhaps, that where we could benefit, but really defining our strategic plan for when our licenses come in and we're ready to roll out is key.
Good stuff. Now, can you discuss the long-term strategy for the company moving forward? That's something that every investor wants to know about. And how do you see the sector evolving?
Well, the first part of your question, execution, right? You know, that's number one. Cannabis, again, a challenging space, a lot of different people coming into it, a lot of promises being made to investors. And so for us, what we want to do is just execute, you know, have our strategic plan in place, have a good financial plan, focus on, you know, what's going to get us there, not get distracted. I mean, it's a fun space, so there's always a shiny penny that can distract management. Maybe you run into that space. But we want to focus on what makes sense for us and do it really, really well and build from there and have that stability in place. As far as kind of where the sector is evolving, you know, that's going to be dictated by consumer behavior, just like any market. But cannabis is really, really, it's an early marketplace. And even though at the beginning I said, you know, California has a long history, there's new consumers coming in that haven't consumed. The younger generation, when they become 21 and become legal and come into being cannabis users, they're going to dictate kind of the direction of it. Things like delivery and B2C, things like, you know, it's really hard to contemplate that right now, but that's going to be driven by the end consumer at the end of the day.
Gotcha. Now, what's been your primary role in the company since you started? And, you know, what's your vision moving forward?
You know, vision for the company is we're all like-minded. We want to build a solid company with real revenues, do as much as we can in 2019 to set the stage for, you know, really good solid growth in 2020. My role in the company, I like building management teams. And in any public company, there's really two businesses. There's the business of the public side of it and then the core business, no matter what you're in. And so it's the relationship between the public company and the core business where I really like to get involved. And, you know, being that we're a business operating in California, that's challenging, right? We're a Canadian listed company. We speak to shareholders in Canada. The majority of our capital raises are up here in Canada. But you have to transit that from the business side to the actual tangible business side and your team down there. And, you know, we anticipate having up to 300 employees by the end of 2020. And you need to bridge that gap. When you start a company from the very beginning, you have a wonderful opportunity to create a company culture. And so we're really focused on that. I enjoy doing that part of the business, working with the C-suite and the senior management team. I've learned a lot through this process in the cannabis space and, you know, coming up with strategic plans. And, you know, TransCanada, we want to be a company that underpromises and over-delivers. And so, you know, we're really trying to focus on our execution, setting the stage for 2020.
Excellent. So can we talk a little about the nearly 200,000 square foot facility? This is now one of the largest multi-purpose plants in California.
Yeah. And until we know otherwise, to our knowledge, it's one of the biggest for sure. So on March 20th of this year, we announced the acquisition of it. It's 196,000 square feet on 5.5 acres, a 3-story multi-purpose facility. This property is absolutely massive. We're super excited about it. It used to be a food processing facility with FDA approvals. And the previous tenant that was in there right before us, they had put over $8 million US into cannabis, different equipment and kind of getting it staged up. And unfortunately for them, they ran out of money and the vendor of the property, you know, allowed us to reap the benefits of that, unfortunately for them, but great for us and great for our shareholders. So, you know, we're well positioned to move that forward, and we're waiting for our licenses. But, you know, we believe that from a scaling perspective, that this facility and where it is strategically, I mean, Modesto is wonderful for taxes. The cost of doing business there for power and everything is just a great, great part of the state to be in.
And can you tell us a bit about the distribution of products across California and how this has been achieved to date?
Yeah, it's, you know, this is really interesting. We've interviewed a number of companies. We've probably got three or four low-hanging fruit, for lack of a better word, of companies that we'd like to acquire, be strategic investors in. You know, how we get our products from scale out to the four corners of the state and into the larger cities is definitely going to be part of our strategic component. So, you know, can't say too much about it. We're still figuring that out. But, you know, the traditional, we've got a large mothership facility in Modesto, and we'll use distribution hubs around the state to, again, deliver that consistency to the end consumer is definitely going to be part of the plan. But, you know, like the other question about, you know, the consumer is going to dictate where the marketplace goes. I think delivery and how that consumer ends up getting the product at the end of the day is going to be one of the biggest changes for the state of California in the next 5 years.
Thanks. It's really helpful information there. Appreciate it. At Arnie. Now, what are your goals long-term in regards to branding?
So, and Jim Pakulis, who is the founder of the company, and you know, TransCanada originally was going to be just a delivery company, made the pivot into owning the brands and building this vertical channel. And I really think that's what attracted me to TransCanada. And it's so key. At the end of the day, any consumer product, if you don't own the relationship with the product and the brand and the consumer, really, what do you have? You know, and Canada's we can have another conversation on that, but specifically for California, owning the relationship with the brand and the consumer is huge for us. So, you know, we're going to do it by bringing quality products on a consistent basis to the market, making sure that it's on the shelves and reliable, which when we did our deep dive into the California marketplace, it's extremely fragmented. You've got some very, very qualified, strong brands that you can get in one city, and you literally drive 2 hours north and you can't get that same product in that other city. I mean, it's super fragmented. And this is going to be the evolution and the maturation of the California marketplace, is whoever can figure out to have that relationship with the end consumer and deliver that on a consistent basis. So that's really what our strategy is going to be.
Well, finally, Arnie, what can you tell our investor audience regarding the current valuation of your stock and why it's a good buy right now?
So, I mean, anyone can look at our stock chart and certainly see volatility, you know, and there's a number of reasons for that. And, you know, perhaps at a trade show or a shareholder event, I can speak to that. But, you know, we had a market cap that was close to 260 million. Today, we're currently sitting at Canadian 30 million market cap. And ironically, in my own personal opinion, you know, we just closed our $5 round not too long ago. I think the company's in a much better position today than we were then, yet we've lost so much in market cap over the summer. So, you know, that comes with the territory. It's been a volatile space. You know, we're leading the way in that volatility, but I can only speak to, you know, my own personal opinion and where the company sits. And, you know, we're achieving so many different things internally, adding incredibly valuable team members to what we want to do on the execution side. We're turning these LOIs into definitive agreements. We have a very strong strategic plan coming forward and a financial plan that's going to get us into 2020. And really, at the end of the day, I mean, we're a team where our actions speak louder than words. So if people go to SETI and look at the insider buying, I mean, our management team is buying the stock at these current prices. We're putting our money where our mouth is. And, you know, we're very firm believers in the future of TransCanada.
That's straight up information. Appreciate it, Arnie. We've been speaking with Arnie Johansson, chairman of TransCanada. I would once again like to thank Arnie for joining us and sharing this helpful and insightful information with our Stockhouse podcast listeners and investors. I'm Dave Jackson for Stockhouse Media and the Stock Talk Cannabis Podcast. Thanks for listening.
Just a reminder to follow us on social media at Stockhouse for the latest updates on all your favorite public companies in North America. For more in-depth coverage, industry news, and to connect with our active investor community, you can visit our website at stockhouse.com. Also, don't forget to visit our new and improved Stockhouse Deal Room on site for unique and exclusive private placement opportunities only available on stockhouse.com.